Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Feng Shui Living. Today, we're talking about two of my favorite things, feng shui and pets. I love my dogs. You know I'm obsessed with my dogs. And if you are an animal lover, this is a great episode for you to check out. We're going to talk about creating a space for your pet to feel really comfortable using feng shui principles. And I've used so much of this with my own animals, and I think you're going to get some great tips out of this one. Welcome to Feng Shui Living, a podcast for busy women looking to de-stress and live with more intention. I'm Lisa Morton, and I'm passionate about helping you create a home that not only inspires you, but empowers you. Years ago, I was severely struggling with my mental health and wellness, and while I'd implemented yoga, meditation, therapy, and more, I just could not find that missing piece of the puzzle. And that was until I explored my home. You see, the interior designer in me had made it beautiful, but it wasn't supporting me energetically. Fast forward, and I've now been in the interior design industry for 20 years, and I've devoted the past 10 years to feng shui and a holistic design approach. In this podcast, I'll be sharing with you interviews, stories, and knowledge, as well as some super easy, simple tips that you can take on today. If you're looking to be more intentional and create a life and home that you love, then you're in the right place. Well, hello there, and welcome to today's episode of Feng Shui Living. I'm Lisa Morton. I'm your host, and oh my gosh, I'm a pet lover. We're just going to start with that. And today we're talking about two of my favorite things, pets and feng shui. I mean, can you get any better than that? I think you're going to love today's episode, especially if you have maybe a stressed out or anxious animal. I'm going to give you some really great tips to help them feel supported, help them feel safe, balanced, and secure. So I have three things I want to focus on today. We're going to talk about aesthetics. We're going to talk about furniture placement, and then also plants, because you know I love plants, but we need to keep our animals safe. So I thought we'd start out with taking a moment to recognize all the amazing things that our animals do for us, right? They really bring us a sense of peace. They encourage, you know, positive thinking and happiness and joy. You know that feeling when you walk in the door at the end of the day and you're tired, you've had a long day, and your dog comes running towards you, just happy as can be, wagging their tail, or your cat comes running out of their hiding space. There's no denying that amazing feeling. And, you know, that's great, but it also, our pets provide us with health benefits as well. They reduce blood pressure. You can also have a reduced risk of heart disease. You can get improved immune function. You know, we're outside walking our pets, so we're active, right? I always tell people, if you want to, you know, improve your lifestyle and get a little more active, get a pet. Between throwing the ball, throwing the stick, or taking them on walks, you're going to be busy and you're going to be moving. But I actually found that the Centers for Disease Control states that pet owners tend to have lower cholesterol and triglyceride levels compared to non-pet owners. So that's pretty good. Get out there. Take your dog on a walk. If you don't have a pet, then borrow your neighbor's pet and go on a walk. You know that dog's going to be so happy to have an extra walk. I actually used to, we didn't have a dog for a couple years, and we had a neighbor with this cute little boxer, and his name was Boots. And my niece would come over and always ask how Shoe was doing, but his name was Boots. And I took Boots jogging a couple times because you could tell he just really wanted to run, and his parents weren't runners, so I'd grab him and go on a run. There's also some great charities. Reach out with your local animal shelter. There's actually a shelter where I live where I can't think of the name of the program, but basically I reserve a time and they give me a dog. I like to go on walks and jog and everything. So they'll give me a dog for what I like to do. You can say, hey, I'm a little slower, you know, but and just going to take the dog and go sit at the park. But, you know, they get to get out of the shelter for a couple hours, and it's a great thing. And it makes me really happy. And I love it. My dogs get very jealous when I go home, but check it out. They're amazing for us. So now let's talk about the amazing things that we can do for them. Let's get into aesthetics, okay? So this includes color, texture, kind of those decorative type elements, you know, the decorative things, the pretty things in your home. So color is really interesting with dogs because they don't see a lot of color. They see yellow, blue, and gray. Now, I've read some brown, but that's kind of yellow and blue put together, right? So take this in consideration when you're selecting things for your home, the furniture, the accessories, the pillows, you know, if you want them to be able to see and navigate, especially if you have a senior dog, this is going to be really helpful. Cats apparently can see more, but blue is what they see the best. So keep that in mind. Kind of interesting. So as you're selecting colors, I always recommend for animals, especially if you have an anxious or stressed out animal, to opt for earth element colors. So in feng shui, we have this five element system. And the earth element is all about getting really grounded and really centered and being really supported. So we can access that. We can encourage that through the colors of browns, tan, beige, cream, yellow, those really earthy colors, right? Also the color blue, like soft blue is really relaxing and calming, and a soft green. We want to keep these softer colors. Now, do you have to decorate your entire home in this color? No, but maybe the areas where your pets are or where you keep them when you're not at home, maybe if they're stressed out when you leave, this bring these colors into that space, okay? So here's the thing. We talked about what they can see and then colors we want to bring in. So they may not be actually able to see the color that you're bringing in, but they're still going to react to that element being in their space. And as a bonus, you're going to react to those grounding, calming colors, and then they're going to feed off you because you know they feed off your energy. So this is going to just support the entire household. When you're painting, picking out paint colors is one thing, but then when you're actually selecting the finish to paint, I always recommend going with a satin or semi-gloss. So the designer in me really loves a flat paint. If you've painted a flat paint before, a flat finish, you know it's beautiful. It's just so beautiful. But hair can stick. And if you have a rather drooly dog like I do, they may have some, you know, after they drink, they shake their head and things may fly. It's not a nice, it's kind of gross, yes, but that's just a part of having an animal, right? So the flat paint is really hard to get stuff off. I will take a magic eraser and just ever so slightly dampen it and I can get it off. On the flat paint, you will see the markings. It's just the way it is. On the flip side, we don't want to go high gloss because it's so reflective and that's not calming to our body. So opt for that satin or semi-gloss. You'll be able to remove things. It won't make hair stick as much as a flat paint. When you're selecting materials, I want you to look for natural materials because animals are just like us. They crave that connection to nature, the wood, the bamboo, right? Select those. Be mindful of your animal and how they move about the space, what they need, how you know, kind of think about your pet. Here's an example. If you're putting in brand new, beautiful hardwood floors and you have a dog who likes to run through the house, you're going to have scratched up wood floors in no time, okay? So just be very mindful of what you're selecting. If you're getting this beautiful, big, thick, textured rug, which is great, but you have a cat, your cat's, you know, they might have just a fantastic time destroying that rug. So be very mindful, but opt for as many natural materials as you can. You know, this brings warmth into it. It just feels cozier when you bring these natural materials in and they'll feel more calm and at peace. When you're looking for fabric, so let's talk upholstery. If you're looking for a sofa, a chair, look for fabrics that aren't going to just grab that hair and hang on to it, like a velvet, a mohair, a chenille, or like a velour type. It's just going to hold on to it and it's going to be difficult to even get it off. So look for textiles, for fabrics that are very, very tightly woven. I love a really tightly woven fabric that nails can't get through. You know, it will stand up pretty well. So look for that. Also steer clear of really delicate materials, because you don't want to invest in these beautiful silk pillows and then you come home one day and your silk pillows are destroyed. So if you want to invest in beautiful things, make sure they're just put in areas where your animals won't go or don't have access to. Let's talk more about other fabrics. So you can opt for leather if you choose to go that route. There are also faux leathers, synthetic fibers that you can get into. Again, I always encourage those natural materials, the cotton, the wool, those natural things. But if you have a pet, you may have to opt for more synthetic fibers. I hate to say this, polyester just wears beautifully. It wears wonderfully. It's going to withstand your animal being kind of crazy on it. So if you have a dog that likes to sleep on the sofa or an animal that can kind of be rough, polyester is going to be your friend. So I'm sorry, it's not the most beautiful, luxurious fabric, but it's going to wear well. So again, this is another point where you need to just look at your pet, look at your lifestyle, look at what you're wanting to invest and go from there. Maybe if you go for some synthetic fabric on your sofa, then get some more natural materials for pillows, for some throw pillows or a throw across the back that's more natural, okay? So just try to find some balance and bring in natural materials wherever you can. So let's get into furniture placement. So in feng shui, we have this thing called the command position that really puts your body at ease because you feel prepared, you feel secure, you feel like you're in command, okay? So the command position would be, say there's this mountain behind you for security and you feel supported and the solid object behind you, and then it's open in front. We want the same thing for our animals. So put them against a solid wall. Don't have their bed just float in the middle of the room. They want to feel supported. So put their bed back up against a solid wall, but then make it open so they can see anything coming towards them. Anything, any other animal, any child, anyone walking towards them, they can feel secure, safe, and prepared and able to see anything coming. Okay, this is really important. This is really going to help your animal settle down. Now, also be mindful of what's around them, above them. Ensure there's not like a heavy cabinet up above, a heavy shelf with big objects on that. We don't want that above their head as well, because that's just not good feng shui. So let's not go there. Here's something I wanted to touch on. And if you're a cat lover, let's work on this together, okay? Litter boxes are just bad feng shui. There's just no good energy about that. Other than convenience for your lifestyle. Let's say that. It brings you convenience, right? Because you don't have to, it's not like a dog you have to take out all the time. But litter boxes don't inspire good energy in our home. So if you can, get a cover for your litter box, or at least drape it with some sort of fabric or something to keep it somewhat closed so it's not just open. Also, be mindful of where you're placing it. You always want to place the litter box in an area that, of course, you're not eating, drinking. Place it in a closet, a mudroom, a laundry room. These work really well, okay? We don't want them out in the open. Plus, the animal doesn't want to be out in the open when they're doing this as well. You know, that we want to focus on these low traffic areas. And this also applies to my next thing I wanted to talk about is water bowls and food and water bowls. I just worked with a client who I may have shared this in another recent episode because it was one little thing, but it was transformative. I know it was transformative to her, but also this can apply to your pets. So when you walked in her home, the very first thing you saw were the water bowls for the dogs at the end of the counter, right at the end of the island there. Seems fine. You wouldn't think much of it. But really, when you're walking in, you're seeing the dog bowls. And if you have a dog, you know that kind of slobbery. It's not the best, not the cleanest thing. You kind of have to keep maintaining it. So it's not a great thing. But it's not that what we want to the first thing to be when we enter the space. So be mindful of where you're placing your water and your food bowls, your animals. Again, low traffic areas. Make sure that if they're if they are in the kitchen, because I know a lot of people like to feed their animals in the kitchen, make sure it's not in that main traffic pattern. So you're trying to boil water for pasta and the dog's underneath you trying to eat. Give them their separate space away from the hustle and bustle of where you're trying to make your own dinner. Give them a little quiet space off to the side. Or even in a separate room. We feed our dogs in the laundry room. That's where they have their water bowls and they eat in there. We've also noticed that they started slowing down when we did that. When we gave them their private area. We actually feed both our dogs separately. So Violet eats first and then Cub eats next. And we found when we did this, they stopped competing and trying to eat really fast. And so it just slowed down. So if this is something you're struggling with, give it a try. Give them a quiet, calming area to eat where there's not a lot of commotion, and maybe separate so the animals eat at different times. Give it a try. Let me know how it works. And while we're at it, I would take a break and share that I have a free home scorecard on my website. You can go check it out. Now, I know some people are like, I don't want to know my score. But I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how well you're doing. Just a little opportunity for you to take inventory. So go check it out. It's free on my website. I'll put a link in the show notes. Let's get back to furniture. Bedding. So let's talk furniture for your animal. Bedding. Make sure you select bedding that is the appropriate size for your animal, that feels comfortable to your animal, and also serves their needs and their requirements. So here's an example. I made a big oopsie and I didn't know. I invested in these outrageous beds for our dogs. They were these beautiful beds made out of aluminum with this material that was, we were going through this phase where Cub was destroying beds every day. I would walk in, and if you've ever experienced this, where you walk in and there's like an explosion of poof everywhere. This was happening all the time. I'd lost all my patience. I'd spent so much money on dog beds. So I was like, something has to change. So I got these beds and it was like indestructible top, but it's elevated. Air can flow underneath. I was so excited with these beds. Well, then our Violet, something I'd never experienced with. This wasn't our first Mastiff, but our first English Mastiff and maybe her weight. But she was getting pressure wounds is what was happening. So she was getting these wounds from the weight of her body against that hard surface. It wasn't enough cushioning. So that was something I learned. She now has a memory foam mattress. The sweet little princess has her memory foam mattress, but they love it. So be mindful of the bedding you're selecting and make sure it's supporting them how they need. And if you're not sure, reach out, you know, talk to other animal lovers. Maybe people have similar breeds, or maybe they've just experienced something. This was just totally new to me. When you're selecting pieces for your home, number one, look for pieces that can easily be wiped down. If maybe a piece of food residue or something, you find pieces that you can easily wipe down, find pieces that you can get slip covers for, because then you can take them off, throw them in the wash, and put them back on, and your chair will look beautiful, look great. Also washable rugs. I believe the brand is Ruggable. They have these amazing rugs that you can take the top off, throw it in the wash, put it back down. How brilliant is that? I mean, I love it. It's great. But also, as far as design, I encourage you to look for pieces with softer lines. So not those hard edges, not sharp points, but softer lines, because that generally invites better feng shui, better energy into the space. You will feel better and your animals will feel better as well. Make sure they have areas to room, especially if you have a big animal. Maybe you have a cat that likes to hide. Maybe you can get a sofa that has the legs underneath it and they have a little space to hide underneath there. So as you're selecting your pieces, you know, opt for those softer lines and make sure your animals are going to be able to move around. Now, here's something else I encourage you to do. Create a play zone for your animal. Now, I know my house, because we have two, you know, they're both 170 and 180 pounds. the dogs. So they're big and they take up a lot of room. So playing is not an easy thing inside the house. So typically I will, if they want to play, I'll open the door and we're going out to play. We're not going to play inside. However, we do have kind of an area in our hearth room where they have their bones, their toys, and their beds, and they can kind of play and chew on their bones as we're watching TV, and just this fun area for us to be together. So I encourage you to create a space like that for your animal and not just have toys everywhere. Toys might wander everywhere. I mean, I know I've woken up and in the middle of the night and stepped on a bone and, yep, kind of feels like a Lego. I may not have children and haven't experienced that, but I've stepped on a bone at night. That's not very pleasant. But they will feel better having the space that they know they can always kind of go. Their basket of toys is there. Their, you know, beds are there. And that's kind of where they go and settle most of the time. This will also help for your peace of mind and not have beds everywhere, have dogs sleeping everywhere, cats everywhere, have this just this general area where they go. Do they have to stay there all the time? No. But they'll like having their area. I call it the play zone. Let's get into our third topic. So our third topic today, we talked about aesthetics, we talked about furniture and placement, and now we're going to talk about plants because, you know, I'm a plant lover, and I know so many of you are. Gotta love our plants, our green, our wood element. Plants are great. They inspire such a good energy. They connect to the wood element of feng shui. I mentioned that five element system before. The earth element and plants fit into the wood element. So this is green plants, this is flowers, you know, any living plant. And they really bring that connection to nature. They make us feel really good. But we need to be very careful with our plants, with our animals. If an animal eats a significant amount of any plant, they're going to get sick, right? Their belly is just not going to like that. So we need to be careful of where we place them and if your animal has access to them. So you might have an animal that doesn't bother plants. Be sure that they're not going to get them. And, you know, I know a lot of cats get into plants. Place your plant where you know 100% the animal isn't going to get to them, because the last thing you want is a sick animal and a huge vet bill. So just be very mindful of your pet and your plants, where they are, where your pets go. If you are just like, I can't do plants with my animals, because I've had clients like that, that's okay. We can bring in the wood element through other areas. Again, we want this wood element in. So you can bring in the color of green. Again, nature, animals are going to like it too. You can bring in vertical stripes. Think of trees growing up tall in the sky. You can also bring in artwork of maybe a landscape. That's also a great alternative to living plants. So when you are looking for plants, so let's say you are a plant person and you're like, what do I get? What do I not get? In feng shui, we want to look for plants with soft, rounded leaves. I always think of a fern. You know, ferns are just so fluffy to the touch and soft. Those feel really nice. Those inspire a good energy and lift the energy of your space. We want to avoid anything pokey or spiky, specifically cactus. Cactus are just not good feng shui. So we want to stay away from cacti. I did grab a list of a couple things. I was researching some plants that are toxic to animals, and I wanted to share some with you that kind of blew my mind. I had no idea. A daffodil. A daffodil is toxic to animals. Geranium, a Boston fern, a lily, and a rhododendron. They're so common. I mean, so many people's yards have these. So this is your reminder to take a peek around your yard. Maybe if you've gotten something new recently, or you're thinking about getting some new plants for spring, for summer, take a look around, check in to see if you have these. And then also go to the ASPCA.org. They have a fantastic list on their website. It's ASPCA.org. I'll put a link in the show notes. They have a full list for dogs. They have a full list for cats. They also have a full list for horses if you're a horse person. So go there, check it out. Better safe than sorry. Take 2 minutes to go to their website and get this list. Check with what you have. If you're not sure, so we moved into this home where we're at, let's see, 5 years, 4 years, 5 years ago, somewhere in there. And some of these plants, I didn't know what they were. They're amazing apps. There's that Plant Snap app. You can download the app. You take a picture of it. It tells you what it is. So if you're not sure what those plants are, maybe you're new to the home, the previous homeowners planted things, check it out. Do your research. Again, you don't want a sick animal and you don't want a big vet bill. So friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode. We talked about the aesthetics, the furniture placement, the furniture selection, all that good stuff, and then plants. Three things that are important to create a space for your animal to feel settled, to feel good, to feel cozy and relaxed, because we want that. We want that for them. I know I want that for mine, and I just want them to live the longest, happiest life ever. I would love to know what your favorite takeaways are from this episode. And if there's anything you'd like to add to this, add in the show notes. Let me know if there's anything else we should discuss, because we can do a follow-up episode too. Oh my gosh, I have had a ball talking about animals. I always do. You guys, take care, and I'll see you at our next episode. I'd like to thank our production company, Garagio Media, the WELT 95.7 Studios, and our sponsor, Good G. For more information, follow the link in the show notes. Be sure to hit like, hit the subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect, find us on Facebook, and be sure to let me know what topics you'd like to hear about. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.